Okay, we're continuing yesterday's Gemara, and we were trying to find the sources for these two mitzvahs, where a person's not, when you're tamei, not to eat kodesh foods, like korbanos, and a person's tamei not to enter the mikdash. So we had the source where a tamei person is not allowed to enter the mikdash. That we had no problem. We showed two psukim for that. The problem was the person who eats things that are Kodesh in a tamei state. We had the punishment was mentioned, but we don't have the prohibition mentioned. So now we're looking for the source. That's the whole discussion. What's the source of the negative prohibition that you shall not eat kachim in a tuma state? That is the question. To which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish came up with two separate answers. Reish Lakish, we'll start on the left side, said the pasuk said by a woman of tumas yoledes, a woman who gave birth to a child. It says ushloshim yom ushloshes yom im teshev vidmei tara. 31 days she sits, 33 days she sits in her days of tara. B'chol kodesh lo siga, in any holy thing she cannot touch. Now we're looking for the source of eating, and it's saying touching. The Gemara will address that later. We'll address that later. Okay, but that's the source, that the person whose tummy cannot eat kachim. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, he learns this from Exeris Shava, when it talks about the person eating, it talks about the person eating kares, it says, v'tumaso alav, and then it talks about the person entering the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, tumaso alav, and gets the kares. So why do you use those unusual words of tumaso alav? So the Gzer Shava says, just like by entering the Beis HaMikdash, where it says Tumaso Alav by Kares, we know there is a negative prohibition that's stated. So the Gzer Shava is going to say, so by eating Kachim in a Tuma state where the punishment of Kares is listed, and says Tumaso Alav, even though we don't have expressly stated the negative prohibition, we assume there is a negative prohibition. And that's via the Gzer Shava. That's where we ended up yesterday. Two separate sources. Reish Lakish says, I got this Pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have this Gzeir Shava. That's where he ended yesterday. So now we go back to the Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to want to know, why does each rabbi not hold to the other rabbi's answer? What did Reish Lakish not like about Rabbi Yochanan's answer? Why didn't he say, why are you saying this answer and not that answer? Right? That's the question. The Gemara says, Bishlema Reish Lakish, Lomak Rabbi Yochanan. I understand Reish Lakish did not choose the answer of Rabbi Yochanan. What was Rabbi Yochanan's answer? The Gzeir Shava. Just like it says, Tumaso, by eating Kachim and by entering the Beis HaMikdash Tomei state. And he says, oh, I got Gzeir Shava. It says, Tumaso. So it's also applied by eating Kodesh. There's a warning, even though it's not stated specifically. So you know why Reish Lakish didn't say that answer? A very, very interesting rule. Because Gzeres Shava Lo Gamir. He did not have a tradition from his Rebbe to use this Gzeres Shava.
Wasn't he his Rebbe? Rebbe Yochanan? Or is it?
one second. Reish Lakish. Well, good question. It was one of his rabbis. One of his rabbis. That's a good question you're asking, because they were brother-in-laws, if you recall. Reish Lakish was the highwayman, and Rabbi Yochanan.
So there's a Gzeir Shava, you have to look for
it. It has to be that. Look at this. A Gzeir Shava cannot be propounded independently. You just can't say, oh, look, I looked at the Chumash. It says Tumasobo. Oh, it says Tumasobo there. I know it's teaching us. It's teaching us this and that. You can't do that. It's going to be part of the original oral tradition handed down from Sinai to subsequent generations. Now, this particular Xerisha was not a part of Reish Lakish's Masorah. In other words, you can only get it from Masorah, from tradition. Your Rebbe got it from his Rebbe, from his Rebbe. Now, I know there's a variable that runs us to a dead end, because it's a Masorah back to Sinai. So, like, did you have the Masorah? Did you not have the Masorah? I mean, who did Moshe give the Masorah over to? Gave it over to certain people, not other people. And then you can have machlokasim, exactly what was the Masorah. Be that as it may, I don't want to get into that, a separate technical issue. But you either you have it as a tradition from your yeshiva, going back all the way to Moshe, or you don't have it as a tradition.
You cannot start it?
You can't start it. That's the point of Gzeir Shava. Moshe says, listen, this is what God told me. Moshe's giving class. He said, okay, if you eat kachim in a tumah state, you're going to get kares. He said, yeah, Moshe, but there's no warning in the Torah for that, Moshe. Okay, Hashem told me that it says tumas obo, because of the wording there, therefore we say that we apply that there's a negative prohibition by eating as well. Well, that's only by tradition. You can't whip it out on your own. That you cannot do. And when we have a gzera shava, is not an independent thing. So, as much as Rabbi Yochanan did have such a gzera shava, Reish Lakish didn't have it. So what do you want from the guy? He can't subscribe to that.
Why did he have it and he didn't?
That's right.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
That's interesting. Why would one have
a... That's a good question. I'd have to look further into that. But that's the rule that they say over there.
Wow. Wasn't he a Yochanan student anyway?
Yeah, that's what Sneer asked. Okay. Again, I don't know if he was the only... So they're really colleagues. I don't know if they were students.
Right.
They studied Torah together. It could very be that Reish Lakish studied under someone else. I'd have to look into the history of the Rebbe student relationship.
Study together?
You can study together, but if you're studying in different yeshivas and you got different Surah, Pampadisa, other places, other traditions, this you need a little stronger historical background to do a little more research on that.
Uh-huh.
Fine. So I understand where Reish Lakish didn't say like Rabbi Yochanan, he just didn't have the tradition. Fine. But Ella Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone with Reish Lakish. Why is it like Reish Lakish? It seems to be a straight out pasuk that seems to say it. Remember, he said the pasuk says you shouldn't touch the woman who gave birth. Shouldn't touch any kodesh. Okay, so why didn't he hold like Reish Lakish? Now, although Rabbi Yochanan did receive the Gzeira Shavah as part of his... Now, you could ask, wait a minute, but he had a Gzeira Shavah. What do you want from him? You have to ask him, what's the worst question?
Mm-hmm.
He had a Gzeira Shavah. What do you want? He's got a Gzeira Shavah. What do I got to go anywhere else for? But still, Gmar is asking the question, although Rabbi Yochanan did receive the Gzeira Shavah as part of his tradition, a direct scriptural source is preferable to a Gzeira Shavah. Gzeira Shavah is, A is like B, and just like A has this, B is like that. That's okay, you can use it, but an actual pasuk is better. So why then does Rabbi Yochanan reject Reish Lakish's direct source? That's the question. It cannot because the Gzeira Shavah would then remain unused. No, for it can still be used to compare the two cases in regard to other aspects of the law. In other words, we know there's a Gzeira Shavah. The question is, how will we apply it? Well, that already, you could apply it in different ways. But first you have to know there's a legitimate Gzeira Shavah. So they could say, listen, why did you use the Gzeira Shavah to learn this law that when you have the warning to not eat kachim, just go with the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan has, and then use the Gzeira Shavah to learn something else. So that's the Gemara's question.
Why couldn't they learn both from the same thing? Why?
You don't learn... You can only learn one thing from a Gzeira Shavah. You can't learn two things.
No. Why couldn't he learn what Rabbi Lechi said, and why could he not, and Yochanan said the same thing, and say, okay, so I accept you, and you accept me, and that's fine.
Because you don't need two teachings to teach the same thing. And again, if you don't have it a tradition, remember, if Reish Lakish didn't have a tradition, he cannot use the Gzeira Shavah Yochanan. You just can't.
Yochanan had the tradition, why couldn't he accept that?
Rabbi Yochanan had the tradition of Gzeira Shavah, and that's what he plugged in.
Right.
Gemara say, well, why didn't you go with a direct pasuk instead?
What's wrong with Reish Lakish's pasuk?
Yeah, a pasuk is much more direct than a Gzeira Shavah.
Right.
So why didn't you take the direct pasuk? He has a Gzeira Shavah. He could use it for something else. You have a Gzeira Shavah, you could use it for something else. That's what Gemara wants to know. So why are you not taking a direct pasuk, which is a better source? So what he's going to answer is... He's going to say, well, I learned that pasuk, but the woman giving birth is talking about something else, and it's not talking about kachim. Amalach, he says, that pasuk, although Reish Lakish learned that pasuk, remember, the pasuk says that the woman who gives birth, she's not allowed to touch kachim, but he's going to explain it means eat kachim, but he's saying, guess what? Even though it says kodesh you should not eat, but he says it's not talking about kachim. Hahu ashora letruma. He says he learns that pasuk is talking about truma and not kachim. It's not exactly the same. Although they're holy foods, they have differences, many differences. Kachim, remember, is the animals that are sacrificed in the temple. That is one thing you can't eat in the state of Tumah. Then we got Truma, that's a separate entity. They don't get lumped in one category. So he applies it to Truma, that you can't eat Truma in a Tumah state. Yeah, she can't eat Truma in that state. Remember, who can eat Truma? Who can eat Truma? A Kohen, his family, and his Canaanite servants. Mm-hmm.
So you can't apply a pasuk to be referring to two different things at the same time.
No, it's either one or the other. And it's two separate things. So he's saying, I know you got a pasuk. You say the pasuk's talking about kachim, animal offerings. I said about truma. Now you got to understand, but wait a minute. The pasuk does say the word things that are kodesh.
Yes.
So this is a commentary that helps us out. That verse is actually a scripture warning against a tummy person eating truma. It says sacred food. It says she can't eat sacred food. Doesn't that mean kachim?
Right.
It does not mean sacrificial food, but truma. Therefore, this verse cannot serve as a warning against eating sacrificial food while tummy. Now, the Gemara at this point assumes that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that this verse warns against a tummy person eating truma. That's what we assume it means. Remember, that's what we're assuming up to this. Even though it says touching. It says touching. It still says touching. It assumes Rabbi Yochanan is saying that this verse warns against a tummy person eating truma. We'll merge in the Gemara below that he actually understands the verse as warning against a tummy person touching truma, which we'll see all shortly. The word kodesh, sacred, generally refers to sacrificial foods. Usually when you see the word kodesh, we normally assume it means sacrificial foods. But can refer to truma as well, since it's also sacred.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan gives this meaning to the kodesh of this verse. For why he does not render it sacrificial foods, that you have to learn Tosfos, all the other commentaries. Why didn't you go with the sim link? That's a discussion beyond what we're going to discuss over here. Be that as it may, so right again, Reish Lakish says, I got a pasuk. I say this pasuk that says that the woman who gave birth cannot touch kodesh. That means it's a source. She can't eat kodeshim in a tumah state. While Rabbi Yochanan says, I can't do that pasuk, because that pasuk, the way I understand it, is only talking about truma, and it's not talking about kachim. Okay? So therefore, I can't learn it from that. Okay, good. Now, this is what my little chart, again, either it helps or it doesn't help. So that's what it says. If you look on the left-hand side at the bottom, it says, Gzeira Shava Lo Gomer. He doesn't learn the Gzeira Shava. Right? Reish Lakish does not learn Rabbi Yochanan's Gzeira Shava. While over here, Rabbi Yochanan, you know, if you look on the left, Reish Lakish has the source from the Pasuk that says 33 days, right? She can't touch it. On the right side, he says, no, Hahu Asara L'Truma. That's a warning for Truma. It's not talking about Kachim. To which next Morris question is going to be this white arrow going down the left. So, okay, if that's the case, then how are you going to know the source for Truma? How's the other rabbi going to know the source for Truma? That's going to be the next question of the Gemara. Okay? In other words, okay, I use this pasuk to say, Rabbi Yochanan is using Reish Lakish. One second. Let them look at Reish Lakish. He says this pasuk is used for a warning for Truma, that a tummy person can't eat Truma. So what becomes the next question? So how does Reish Lakish know the warning to not eating Truma? Because he's using that pasuk to say it's kachim. We know you can't eat truma if your tummy. Where's the warning over there? If you're learning like Rav Yochanan, that he's saying this is a warning to not eat truma in a tummy state, and Reish Lakish, who used the pasuk for kachim, so how's Reish Lakish going to know that you can't eat truma in a tummy state? Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. That becomes the next question. Reish Lakish. Azhara l'truma min aloho. So how does he know the warning for that? You don't have a pasuk for that. Where's the warning? He's used that pasuk for the warning against eating kachim.
Right.
And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, That's for, no, that pasuk is for Truma. Okay, good. So now Reish Lakish, where's the warning for Truma? So now he finds another pasuk. So Reish Lakish, Nafkala, he learns from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, it says, May Ish Mizera Aaron, Vahut Sarua Ozov, etc., etc., he shall not eat kachim. Let's look at the pasuk. It's like this, ish, a man. Obviously, that already is going to have to teach us something, but we're not going there right now. Mizera Avram, from the descendants of Aram. Vahut Sarua Ozov, he's a Metzora or a Zov. That means he's a Tame guy. It could be any other kind of Tumah. Just giving two examples of Tumah.
The coin.
Yeah, well, obviously, a Zera Aram. Who's a Zera Aram? A coin. Bakachim lo yochal. You don't eat kachim ad asher yitar until he is tohar. Okay, that's all we need to know. We don't need to know the rest of the pasuk. Okay, there obviously is a negative transgression over here. It's a negative transgression about not eating and something that's called kachim. Now the question is, what does that going to mean? He's going to say that's talking about truma, because remember he said truma could be called kodesh.
Right.
Okay, so saying this pasuk says that now we could wait a minute, but maybe it's real kachim, maybe it's korbanos. What that word kachim, what do the English says from the holies? I'm not sure what that means. Does it mean korbanos? Does it mean truma? Right? So what does it mean? Well, now we have to try to find some hints. Now, who can eat kachim from the Kohanim? From the Kohanic family, who eats kachim?
Men.
Period. Just men. If it's your turn, right, whatever. But it's only a male. A male Kohen is the only one who could eat kachim.
In the basement.
We're talking about kachim, korbanos. Korbanos that are given to the Kohanim to eat. Let's say korban chatas. I know we could eat shlomim. I'm talking about the specific Kohanic kachim.
Okay, all right.
Shlomim, but I'm talking about there are certain things that only the Kohanim can eat kachim. Let's say korban chatas, a korban asham. They're the only ones who could eat it. So now, which Kohanim may eat that? Only males. Only Kohanim will work in the base of Imish. Exclusion, females. Exclusion, Canaanite slaves.
Right.
Truma. Who can eat truma? That already. Male Kohanim. Female, depending on wives, daughters who aren't married out, whatever. Or Canaanite slaves. Okay, so let's go back there. Now the question is, are we talking about kachim, meaning korbanos, the Kohanim, or are we talking about kachim truma? That's the question. So there is a little hint, because let's look at the first few words over here. If you want to say a Kohen, there's a lot easier ways of saying a Kohen. You don't say ish mizera Aaron, from the seed of Aaron. Now someone's from the seed of Aaron. Who? Let's think about this now. If you're called an ish, just plain ish, an ish kohen, if the Torah would have said an ish kohen, okay, then what would that have to mean?
Only from Aaron.
A man.
Yeah. A man.
When you say you're Zera Aaron, you're the seed of Aaron.
It could be
Aaron. What is a seed? What does it mean you're the seed?
Male or female?
It means you're a descendant. Now, can a woman be a descendant from Aaron?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. There have to be women who are descendants from Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron had a daughter. Is she a descendant of Aaron?
Yes, she is.
Okay, Aaron had a son who had a daughter. Is that daughter a descendant?
Yes.
So Gemara's going to say, since it says the seed of Aaron, that means it's both men and women. Now, what are you going to do with ish? Ish is another. It's another drusha for something else. But that word zera is a sore thumb. In other words, you don't say zera unless you want to include all descendants.
Yes.
If you want to just say men, stick with ish. You don't say zera. You wouldn't. It's not the way to. What's the ish doing? It'll teach other drushes. We'll teach other drushes. But the Gemara is going to say the fact that it says zera aron, that's all inclusive. That is going to mean females? And now you're talking about females eating kachim. Females can't eat kachim, korbanos kachim. She can't do that. So therefore, we only can say it's talking about truma. It's the only thing. And there it says you can't eat it. So he says that's going to be the source for not eating truma, because why are you saying it's truma? Maybe it's korbanos. No, because that zera is telling me even females. Let's just look at it inside, then I'll take your question. Let's just see if the commentary has anything more to add. He learns it from this pasuk. There's the pasuk. It's just giving you the explanation. Fine. So now he asks, "A zeh dover? What is a thing shehu shava that's equal mizarosh bizarosh aron with the seed of Aaron, meaning men and women? The seed of Aaron implies all the descendants of Aaron, whether men or women. By employing this term, the verse indicates it speaks of foods that were otherwise permitted to all of Aaron's offspring. So what is that? Heavy Omer, I would say, Zutruma. That's Truma, which is permitted to the Kohen's entire family, male and female. Therefore, the term sacred foods in this pasuk refers to truma. Hence, the verse constitutes a scriptural warning against consumption of truma by one who is tamei. And that's what he says. Truma is permitted to both men and women. Sacrificial foods are not. Although the parts of kachim kalim offerings eaten by kohanim are eaten by the female kohanim as well, they are not eaten by women who are or once were married to non-kohanim. Truma, by contrast, may be eaten even by a woman who was married to a non-kohen before, provided they're no longer married. That's, he just wanted to say, maybe we'd be talking about kachim kalim. So I would have answered otherwise, because anybody could eat kachim kalim. But anyway, so that's the proof. Okay, question.
Now, I mean, it's, how can it be a proof? You can't just be selective and ignore ish. It says any
I'm
man.
I'm sure that is going to be a brisa that says ish comes to teach you something else. Ish, even a cut and whatever. You're right. It's saying that, but what's the word zera doing there? That's the critical. You don't say zera. It's very uncommon to use. It's not. There is a drusha for ish. We had that many, many times where ish is including different types of ishes. Right? But the word zera is very inclusive. So it could be an ish, to exclude other types of ishim. Let's say a cholo, okay, or something like that. I don't know what the drusha is, but there has to be a drusha that's telling you what it's teaching you. I hear what you're saying, but the redundancy in ish, a brisa would come and say, this is what it's coming to teach you. And here they're telling you zera, which is an inclusive term, has to be including males and females. Now, the fact you don't know what ish, if I could whip out and tell you what ish was telling you, you'd be okay.
No, but I'm not even going to that idea. I'm just saying.
A lot of times when it says ish, their women are included in this. Yeah. Many times in the Torah, ish is not necessarily always a man. Many, we've had prices in the past. And ish is not only an ish. It could be an ish too.
Selective and say, this is what it means, and we're just forgetting what this says.
Okay, well, let me ask you better. If it says ish zera, why did it say the word zera?
Yeah.
Do you have a better answer? I'm happy to hear it.
Any man who's a descendant of Aaron.
Well, you don't have to say that. Say ish kohen. You don't have to call him a descendant of Aaron. I could use less words. Ish kohen. Two words instead of three.
Yeah. So, four.
Say, right, instead of four. Just say ish kohen. Just say that. That gets the message across.
Yep.
And I know, ish kohen, a man kohen. Finished. Why you say ish mizera Aaron? Why does it say descendant of Aaron? That's totally not necessary. It's not being selective. It's telling you what the words actually mean. Zera Aaron means a broad inclusion of any descendant of Aaron. Ish is teaching you something else. That's what's hanging you up. If I would find what ish was teaching you, then you'd be happy. Ish is an exclusionary term. A man coming to exclude something. But it can't be a woman, because we've included her in Zera Aaron. That's how you're including that. So we just have to know what that would be talking about. That's what we have to add. But that's what the Gemara Darshan said. So we could do research and find what the other Ishish is talking about. That's the kitzur, that's how he learns it. I don't know if there's anything else on this. Note 12. No, that's not it there.
Not happy with it.
That's not there. Okay, anyway, that's the drush. Okay, so now what do we got? We got to add up everything over here. So Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish learns the warning against eating truma from this pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan learned it from the pasuk that Reish Lakish used it for kachim, right? So they're using different psukim to say you can't eat it, right? So now you go to the other rabbi now. The Edich, let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who used the pasuk that says about touching the kachim, he said that was the pasuk of truma. So what's he going to do with Reish Lakish's pasuk right over here of Zera Aaron? He's saying that's the pasuk of eating, right? Got that? Yes? Everyone's got another pasuk. So now the other rabbi, Reish Lakish, is using the pasuk of Zera Aaron to teach you that means you can't eat truma. So where's he going to get that from, right? So he's going to say, "Hahu la'achila." That verse is using for the warning against eating truma while tamei. Okay, remember he. But we're going to say, "But what are you doing? That we thought you learned that for something else." That's going to be coming as a question shortly. Saying "Hai la'achila," he uses that pasuk, any man from Seder Aaron, for a warning against eating truma while tummy. Okay, that's what we got over there. Okay, fine. So that is for achila. That takes care of that. Now v'ha. So that was for eating. But what about touching? V'ha. And this other, and the first pasuk, and this pasuk we had before, that's for touching. He cannot touch any sacred food, so that's touching truma. He has one for touching truma and one for eating truma, because that's what the two psukim have. One is touching truma, one is eating truma. So the tummy person who touches truma contaminates it and makes it forbidden to eat, and now you can't, and you're not allowed to defile truma. So he says, okay, he uses one pasuk, it says you can't touch truma. The other pasuk is saying when you're tamei to make it tamei, and the other one's saying that you can't eat truma when you're in a tamei state. Okay, so that's
referred to tamei state. So why have to repeat it? What you feel? Why should not
two
allowed
different things? I might think so. I'm tamei and I touched it. What's so bad about it?
You're not allowed to.
That Torah has to tell you that. Tell you, you know, a tummy person, you cannot defile
it. You're not allowed to touch it.
There's two separate activities. One is touching and making tummy. I didn't eat anything. I just touched it.
Move it.
Okay.
Well, that would exclude eating immediately.
No.
Why not? Yesterday. How can you eat it if your tummy and you touch it?
Okay, how about if you're tummy and it's not tummy? What about truma that's not tummy? Can you eat it when you're tummy? That's a separate case. It's two different things. A tummy person touching truma and thereby making the truma tummy, that's one avera. And then we have a fellow who happens to be tummy and wants to eat truma that is tahor. That's a whole separate case. It's two separate things. One is ingesting holy food while you're tummy.
Yeah.
The other is contaminating holy food by you being tummy. That's two separate. Now you could transgress two times, two separate averos, but it's still two separate averos. One is defiling truma, and one is eating truma while you're in a tummy state. Once you eat it, there's no truma around. If I'm tummy and I touch it, oh, look what you did. You made this whole truma tummy. That's a bad thing.
So now, you cannot eat it.
Good, but even if I'm not going to eat it, that's a separate avera of defiling truma. Now I got this truma sitting here that's defiled, and it's your fault, and you did the sin by defiling it.
No,
this is now a separate scenario. Oh, this is holy truma, and I'm tummy, and someone just put it right in my mouth, and I ate it. That's a separate avera. I ate tar truma. You were asking, well, how do you eat it unless you touch it? And once you touch it, you made it tummy. Well, that's not necessarily the only case. Okay?
All right.
So that is what he's going to do with that. So that's how they've closed up all those knots. That's the basic machlokas, how they're using the different verses. What the Gemara is only going to do now, and for the balance till the bottom of the page, is, okay, now that you told me that that's what Reish Lakish learns, and you want to say this is what Reish Lakish says, the problem is we have other arguments in the Talmud, Reish Lakish uses this very pasuk that he uses for this for something else. So how can you use the pasuk to teach two separate things? That's going to be... We've taken care of, okay, what do you do with this? We do this, okay, we've got it balanced. This is what everybody uses with all the pasukim. Okay, but now that we conclude that Reish Lakish is using the pasuk of Bakal Kodesh for Truma, for Kachim, well, how did he... Now we're going to whip out another machlokas that we haven't seen yet. And from that same pasuk, he learned something else. So how can you learn two things from one pasuk? That's going to be the nature of the next couple questions.
I thought we said 10 minutes ago, I asked that question, that you're not allowed to do that.
That's right. The Gemara's going to ask. That's why the Gemara's going to ask. You're not allowed to do that. How are you doing that now? That's going to be the question. You're going to say this pasuk, you taught me this pasuk, taught me X. Now I'm going to show you another machlokas where you take the same pasuk and say, teacher, why? So, you know, either it's X or it's Y. It can't be both. That's going to be the question. And that's what the Gemara asks, Reish Lakish. Okay, the Gemara, let's back it up, review. The Gemara stated Reish Lakish derives a scriptural warning against eating sacrificial foods. That's the first thing he said. Where's the lav? If from the point, he shall not touch any sacred food. He says that's kachim. The other rabbi says, oh, that's truma. Fine. But he says it's kachim. That pasuk says, you can't, even though it says you can't touch, it says you cannot eat kachim. Reish Lakish, hi, b'chol kodesh lotiga. Are we going to really say that those words, any holy things you cannot touch, it came to tell us you can't eat sacrificial foods when tame? That's what you said it's for? You can't do that, Reish Lakish, because we see you use that pasuk and teach us something else in another machlokas. Hahumi boile. He used it really for what the simple reading of the pasuk was. Litame shenaga bakodesh. He uses in another machlokas to say that a tame guy can't touch kodesh, not eat kodesh, as we're going to now see. The Gemara's going to ask, how can you let the one pasuk tell you that you can't touch and you can't eat? That's going to be the question on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish. Right now, we said, Reish Lakish said, how do you know you can't eat kachim? And the Talmud say, well, it says the woman can't touch any of the kachim. Okay. Fine. You want to learn, you want touching means eating? Okay. You want to say it means eating? Fine. How you do that? Fine. Whatever it is. But you said you learn eating. But another machlokes, the very same post says you can't touch it when you're tame. So how can you learn two things? That's going to be the question. How do we know he says that? The eat markers. Look at the following brisa. Tame shenaga bakodesh. A tame person who touches, not eating, touches kodesh. Reish Lakish omer loka. Reish Lakish says you get lashed for that. Means there got to be a lav somewhere. Rabbi Yochan omer ain't a loka. Reish says you're not going to get lashed. What's the pasuk? Well, Reish Lakish omer loka. He says you get lashed because it says b'chol kodesh lo tiga. All the things you don't touch. Wait a minute, but you said in the beginning that's talking about eating, not touching. That's the question. Rabbi Yochanan there, remember, he's not going to use that for lashing. Because what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that pasuk? He says it's talking about truma, remember? So what are you going to get lashed for kachim? That's talking about truma. For Rabbi Yochanan, or ain loka. You're not going to get lashed because he's already said, hahu ashar le truma. It's talking about truma, it's not talking about kachim. So now we have a really good question on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish started off today saying, how do we know there's the lav, you can't eat kachim in a tame state? And he says from the pasuk, because you shall not, a tame person can't touch it. And learns touching means eating, fine. But here's a price that clearly says, he uses that pasuk to say you can't touch it. And if you touch it when your tame you get lashed, how can you learn two things from one word? The pasuk says touching, and you first learn eating kachim, and now you want to say touching kachim. How you get both of them? And the Gemara answers, I'm not going to have time to go the full answer, so because I'm going to get the call here, but he's going to say like this. He explains that both teachings were derived. You could learn two things from one pasuk if the way it's worded suggests a multiple meaning. If it's not written in the simplistic way, sometimes you can. When the Torah chooses to use an unusual way to say something, then it's hinting to two ideas. So he says, we're going to have to review this tomorrow. But he says, Tame Shinaga Bakodesh. Now it explains how he derives both teachings. So how do you say touching? Tomei, he says two things. In this machlok, is a tomei who touches it. Well, I'll tell you how he got the touching part, because that's what the pasuk says. May the afka rachman, because the Torah said touch. Right. So that's pretty good. We got that pretty good on that point, because although the verse speaks of the woman touching sacred foods, it's actually warned against eat. Although it means eating, you have to see why it means eating, it's still used touching. Why did it say touching if it means eating? Well, to say that it's touching. Okay, I'm getting this, but where's the eating part coming? In other words, he says, although it said touching, it means eating. We have to see, right? But still it said touching. So why did it say touching when it meant eating? Right. Must be to include touching. I'm just going to say, wait a minute, but how'd you get eating if it says touching, right? So that's the next line. So he's saying, Ashara la'ocha, and the scripture warning against a person who eats sacrificial food, it's from a hekesh, from the psukim. Iskish Kodesh Lamikdash, we now make a hektish from sacrificial food to other food in the temple, which is going to need a little bit more of explanation, which we're not going to have time. We just ran out of time. So I'm going to go back and say this answer again tomorrow. But basically, he's going to say is there's a way to learn two things from this one thing. How he does it is through the wording and a hekesh. We'll repeat this over tomorrow. Just ran out of time here.